محمد وآل محمد صلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هنالك دعا زكريا ربه قال رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء. فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى مصدقا بكلمة من الله وسيدا وحسورا ونبيا من الصالحين. قال ربي أنى يكون لي غلام وقد بلغني الكبر وامرأتي عاقر قال كذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء. قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة أيام إلا رمزا واذكر ربك كثيرا وسبح بالعشي والإبكار. وإذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله اصطفاك وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين. يا مريم اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين. ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ يلقون أقلامهم أيهم يكفل مريم وما كنت لديهم إذ يختصمون. إذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه اسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsant. We will now have Marsha by Brother Haider Virji, followed by Brother Ali Jawad Jaffer. Please can we welcome them both with a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad salawat. میں خاک کربلا ہوں رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. میں خاک کربلا ہوں رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. بنت علی نے مجھ کو بنت علی نے مجھ کو چادر بنا لیا ہے. میں خاک کربلا ہوں رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. میں خاک کربلا ہوں رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. کرتے ہیں رشک مجھ پر کوثر کے بھی کنارے. زینب کے سر میں میں نے دو سال ہے گزارے. میرا ہر ایک ذرہ ہر ظلم کا گواہ ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. اکبر جوان قاسم غازی سے چاند تارے, زین العباد میری آغوش میں اتارے, یعنی لہو نبی کا مجھ میں ملا ہوا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. روتی ہوں یاد کر کے وہ بے کسی کا منظر, مولا چھپا رہے تھے مجھ میں وہ لاش اصغر, اس دن سے آج تک نہ مجھ کو سکون ملا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. زہرا کی بیٹیوں کے قدموں کو میں نے چوما, مظلوم بے وطن کے زخموں کو میں نے چوما, اس واسطے ہی میری تاثیر میں شفا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. اے زائرین مولا چلنا یہاں سنبھل کر, قرآن فاطمہ کا بکھرا ہوا ہے مجھ پر, نہ جانے کس جگہ پر کس کا لہو گرا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے, میں خاک کربلا ہوں, رتبہ میرا جدا ہے. پر محمد وال محمد صلوات.
محمد وآل محمد صلوات. ایک اور صلوات بھی محمد وآل محمد پر. کیا دیکھتی ہے صغرا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں, کیا دیکھتی ہے صغرا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں, منظر ہے کربلا کا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں منظر ہے کربلا کا، زینب کے آنسوؤں میں برچھی کا زخم تازہ تازندگی رہے گا، برچھی کا زخم تازہ تھا زندگی رہے گا، اکبر کا ہے کلیجہ زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، صغرا نظر اٹھاؤ قاسم کا حال دیکھو، صغرا نظر اٹھاؤ قاسم کا حال دیکھو، بکھڑا ہوا ہے لاشا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، بکھڑا ہوا ہے لاشا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، اے دیدائے تصور تجھ کو دکھائی دے گا، تجھ کو دکھائی دے گا چھوٹا سا ایک جھولا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، چھوٹا سا ایک جھولا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، زندان شام میں ہے چھوٹی سی قبر لیکن، زندان شام میں ہے چھوٹی سی قبر لیکن، موجود ہے سکینہ زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، اب اون اور محمد بھی یاد آ رہے ہیں، اب اون اور محمد بھی یاد آ رہے ہیں، ہونے لگا اضافہ زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، کیا دیکھتی ہے صغرا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، منظر ہے کربلا کا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، منظر ہے کربلا کا زینب کے آنسوؤں میں، بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات.
Asant, Haider and Ali Jawad. On behalf of the Hujjat Airfield property team, can I now call on Brother Oscar Ali Jaffer to deliver a short speech with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Esteemed scholars, respected elders, sisters and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I first and foremost share my condolences to the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi ajalallahu farajah sharif, on the death anniversary of his grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. A few nights ago, our Assistant Secretary, Muhammad Asif Rajbali, stood in front of you all to answer a pressing question that has been on everyone's mind. Why Harefield? It has been heartwarming to see the incredible response from our community in coming forward and engaging with the project further by asking questions, having conversations, and gaining clarity on a project that is so instrumental to our future. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been humbled once again by the generosity of this community and the wider Khoja community. As you know, the bank has approved to lend us up to £14.1 million, and through your generous donations, along with the pledges and soft loans received, we were able to collect £15 million before exchange. So we now have a shortfall of £5 million, of which we have managed to raise half already, in order to complete the purchase of our future at Hujjat Harefield. We have our fundraising team working tirelessly to engage with our members, as well as our neighbouring jamaats, to come together and partake in this opportunity for Thawab-e Jariyah. Harefield, as our Vice President Sajjad Uncle Tijani mentioned, is more than just a centre. It is a hub for our community, a catalyst for our spiritual excellence, an avenue for our youth, a nurturing ground for our children, as well as a safe space for our elders. We must look beyond the next 3 or the next 5 years. We must have a vision for the future. Our growing community requires to look and plan for the next 25 plus years. Harefield is a property and a project for everyone. As I stand before you this evening and look to my left and right, all I see are beneficiaries for this project. No matter your age, interests, or background, we will all benefit from this project, inshallah. I therefore humbly request you to dig deep this evening and on these special nights where we come together and unite once more to commemorate the sacrifice of our Mawla. So please make a contribution towards our future and let us invest in our generations to come like our forefathers invested in us. For surely without their open-minded vision and generosity, we would not be sitting here commemorating the ultimate sacrifice for our religion. There is no amount too little or too much for this project, and the bounty and reward lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you donate £10 or £10,000, it is confirmed that the amount you donate has no bearing on the ample reward you will receive, insha'Allah. You can make a contribution online and or at the donation desks outside the centres. We have been blessed with a large community that is ever growing, mashallah. If we all come together and make a contribution, there is no doubt in our mind that we will be able to achieve our target and lay the foundations for our community for the next 25 plus years. There's plenty of information about this project on our website and on the screens after the program. Over and above this, we have a dedicated Harefield team that are keen to answer your questions and listen to your concerns. If you're unsure, please speak to us at our upcoming Q&A session this weekend. As we are all one family and we must all be on the same page to make this journey fruitful for us all. We must show a united front as we journey to our future. Finally, I pray that our amal in these nights of grief are accepted, and through this new center we are able to partake and facilitate in the azadari for the Ahlul Bayt and raise our children in an environment befitting of the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Asant. Before I call on Sheikh for the lecture tonight, could we please have everyone move as far forward as possible? There's plenty of space here on my left and on my right. And can we do this with 3 loud salawats? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli. Could I now please call on Sheikh to deliver his lecture for tonight on the topic entitled Karbala, an Enlightened Journey, with a salawat.
For the benefit of all of the departed souls, of the relatives, of those who have gathered here, and the sponsors of tonight's program, and of all the marhumin and marhumat and the shuhada of Islam, let's give them the thawab of the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين Respected elders, brothers, sisters, on this day of the 4th of Muharram, coming up to the 5th evening, I begin by first of all conveying my condolences to our living Imam, our Master, the Hujjah of Allah, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and to all of you on the occasion of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They say that one time when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was young, there was an incident that took place in Medina where this man had committed some sort of crime and he didn't want to be punished for it. So he runs away and he hides. But eventually he realizes that you can only hide so long after all, and he gets ready to face whatever consequences he's going to. As he comes near to the Prophet to confess and to reveal himself, he sees that near the Prophet are his two grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhim as-salam. They're just young at that time, so he takes them in his hands and he goes to our Prophet. And he says to Rasulullah, he says that, I've committed the crime, but by the sake of these two, your grandsons, I wish to be forgiven for it. I don't want to face the consequences of it. And when the Prophet sees what he's done, he says that by the shafa'a, by the intercession of these two, you're forgiven for what you've done. Just go ahead. You're not going to be punished for what you did. This is a story, but it gives us a clue. Sometimes we're looking for the wasila, we're looking for that means of success. You can go out about it by yourself, or you can take the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When we come to these gatherings, this is an opportunity for us to reach out and to say that all my deeds on one hand, whatever they are, whatever efforts I put in, I know that all of them don't amount to that much. But what I do know is that if I'm able to connect to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt, this is what really has value. Our great scholars would say that throughout the year, try to regularly remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because if you do so, that is a way of easing things for you, of making the difficult things easy for you. Sometimes we get stuck in different things and we're looking for a key to unlock them. One of them is these majalis. Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai, rahmatullahi alayhi, the teacher of Allama Tabatabai and Ayatul Bahjad, he said that if you can't remember him every week, if you can't go to the majlis every week, do not leave aside the 10 days of Muharram. These are special. This is the opportunity that, alhamdulillah, we've been presented with on such an evening. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, our topic of the enlightened journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is an opportunity for us to learn more about those factors that were present at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the culture, in the thinking of the people, that led them to almost, you know, most of the people, they abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they allowed the events of Karbala to take place. Over the course of the last number of evenings, we've had the opportunity to learn more about this, to look at different figures from history and see how they faltered and how they represent others who followed their same path. We heard about the stories of Usama bin Zayd and Ahnaf bin Qais, people who took the path of not taking a path, meaning that they supposedly took a path of neutrality, but actually they were just serving their own self-interests. Yesterday we heard about the story of Abdullah ibn Rabi'a, the famous poet whose words were considered to be like very powerful. People would quote them, they were sung all over the Muslim world, and he represented a type of return to the pre-Islamic era, one where people were obsessed with this culture of celebrity worship at that time. Poets who were known as prophets, words of lust and words of power and anger and revenge. And this is what had occupied the people's minds. If you remember, we talked yesterday about how the entire city comes out to mourn Umar ibn Abdul Rabi'a's death because they're so attached to his poetry. Tonight, I want to continue this discussion because when we're talking about culture and the culture of Jahiliyyah, whether it be at that time or whether it be at this time, it's super important. Because no matter how much we might say that we're immune to other cultures because we have a strong identity, at the end of the day, we do come across this culture wherever we go, wherever we are. I mean, you're sitting in a shop, you're going through the mall, you hear the music that's being played. You're driving on the motorways. You might see billboards which advertise aspects of this culture of celebrity worship and, you know, music stars and movie stars or whatnot. You can't hide from it. And people take different approaches. And what we see in the long run, when we start to see, okay, what happens when people engage with this culture, we see that the results sometimes are a bit alarming. People's identity can be corrupted when they don't have a proper way of dealing with this culture. So today, inshallah, I want to go into a little bit more detail. And I'd like you to take you back to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where, as we talked about, there is this culture that's re-emerging of poetry and of music. But you all know that when you have words which are sung, usually, whatever culture you're in, it doesn't just stop at that. Music and these words of lust and revenge and whatnot, they almost always are also accompanied with a couple of other things. One of them is alcohol. Another one is dancing. And another one is the pursuit of pleasures and shahwat and lusts and desires. And all these typically come together. I mean, you don't need to look too far to see examples of that. Just go, well, actually, don't go and look at it, but you'll be aware of, like, let's say, the music video culture and what that entails. So what we see at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that through the through Bani Umayyah, in particular the figure of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, la'anatullahi alayhi, this type of culture of immorality and of and indecency is something which is being spread. Because when the leader does it, then the followers follow suit. I mean, it's not a wonder, you know how some months back, you might have heard about the news of this big raving concert in the desert sands of Saudi Arabia. It was a big deal. They had brought in, like, you know, the top pop singers, and they did a big concert all through the night. When it came time for Salah, they did stop and they played the adhan from like the big screens. But then as soon as the adhan ended, they were back to like their dancing and music and whatnot. And this was happening not too far from, you know, the holy lands of Mecca and Medina. Why would that happen? I mean, when you look at, you know, the leader and you see, you know, his super yacht and, you know, his other escapades and whatnot, then of course, you know, what happens there, it's going to reflect on the people as well. So this is what's happening at that time. Yazid was somebody who Muawiyah, at one point he realizes he's getting old and he says that after me, I want to put Yazid as the leader. So I got to make some moves from now to put that in place. So he goes, history narrates that he goes to Ziyad ibn Abi, you know, the father of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He says, give me some advice. You know, I got a problem here. I want to put Yazid, but it seems like people aren't going to really be accepting of that. So Ziyad is almost like laughing at him. He's like, I mean, Yazid, right? He's famous for being the guy who plays with monkeys, right? He's famous for being the guy who spends his time just, you know, playing around with dogs and singing music and composing like poetry of lust and whatnot. He's famous for spending time with like dancing and singing and instruments and all of that. And you want to make him as the leader, and you have people in the ummah like Abdullah ibn Umar, and you know, you have the likes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and you think that people are going to accept it. If you really want to do that, one thing that you can do is tell Yazid to kind of cut back on this, right? Let him at least hide what he's doing, right? He shouldn't be so open about being somebody who's so indecent and so immoral. 1 or 2 years, and you know, maybe then the people will start accepting his position as the leader. And so what Muawiyah does is, you know, he puts Yazid in charge of the army. They have to go fight a battle. And he's thinking that now Yazid will take on like this responsibility. And Yazid, la'anatullahi alayhi, instead, what he does is he spends his time, you know, just fooling around and whatnot. The army gets typhoid and it's a big issue. They come to him and they say, Yazid, you're our leader. You know, tell us what to do. And instead he composes poetry saying that, what do I care about typhoid fever when I'm busy enjoying my own lusts and my passions? And he basically tells them, just go and figure out yourselves. Another incident takes place when Muawiyah goes for the Hajj. He leaves Yazid in Medina. And it's very interesting. Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself goes to Yazid to do Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And when he goes near him, he says, what is the smell that I see coming from you? And he lies. He says that it's a type of special perfume that you get from Yemen. Right? But actually, it was the smell of alcohol. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam begins to like chastise him and say that, what is this? You know, why are you doing these type of things? And Yazid starts to compose poetry. It's a famous line of poetry in which he says that, you know, I called you and I invited you to this, to join me. You know, I invited you to join me with drinking and with pursuit of lusts and this and music and whatnot, and you don't realize what you're missing out on. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is disgusted at what he sees, and he leaves Yazid. He's angry at what took place. Some years later, brothers and sisters, and this is very important, like we have to know our history. The more ma'rafa we gain, the more understanding and awareness we gain, it gives us a different perspective when we approach these incidents. We start to see things and there's more light shed on them. A couple years later, this is just 3 years after, roughly 3 years after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the people of Medina, they have a mass uprising against the Umayyad dynasty. And the reason for that is because some of their leaders from Medina had gone to visit Yazid in Damascus. And when they go to him, you know, first of all, he tries to buy them off. He gives them, like, you know, money from the public treasury. But despite that, when they come back to Medina, they say that, look, we were paid off by Yazid to keep our mouths shut, but we're not going to keep our mouths shut. Because what we saw from Yazid is something which is just shocking for us. We saw somebody who has no control for when he drinks. And when he drinks, he oftentimes is in a state of intoxication. And when he's in a state of intoxication, he oftentimes even just leaves his prayer aside as well. He's openly committing these crimes of immorality. And they started to rouse the people. Eventually, there was an uprising. It was severely crushed. And, you know, history narrates the Harra incident. And what happened is that the people of Medina, there was basically a slaughter that took place. And Yazid and his soldiers, Yazid's soldiers, they went and they committed all sorts of acts of indecency when it came to the people of Medina. All of that was okayed by Yazid himself. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the question that we have to ask, which is very important. That when Muawiyah's, you know, one of his right-hand men is telling him that, look, if you want to put Yazid in power, you need to tell Yazid to kind of can it a little bit. And Yazid doesn't. He's still open about it. He's still successful in being able to have almost everyone give him the bay'ah. This is something which is very strange. It shows us that throughout the ummah at that time, a type of deadness had appeared in their hearts where they were willing to accept somebody who was still known for being sinful. Someone who had low morals. When the people, the delegation had gone from Medina to Damascus and they come back and they report to people that we saw this from Yazid and he's like this and he's like that. That was 3 years after Imam Hussein Hassan was martyred in Karbala. But before Imam Hussein was martyred, what was the message that he sent to the people? He told them, Yazidun Rajulun Fasiq. Yazid is somebody who has no morals. Sharibul Khamr, he drinks wine. Mu'alinun bil fisq, he's open with his sinfulness. Wa mithli la yubayi'u mithla, someone like me will not give allegiance to someone like him. Why didn't they take note at that time? Why didn't they just say that Imam Hussein has told us that this is the type of person he is. He's telling us not to do bay'ah of him. Right? Why don't we just support Imam Hussein in Islam? It's so clear. But it wasn't clear for them. What was the reason why it wasn't clear for them? It's because the culture of immorality had spread so wide and far that they had taken it to be something which was normal. And they thought that they couldn't do anything about it. This is just the way that things are. Yazid is drinking. Yazid is dancing. He's playing with his monkeys and his dogs. Well, if he asks for my allegiance, I'm still going to have to give it. Now, brothers and sisters, what kind of message had Islam spread? What had our Prophet spent so much effort to educate the people about? It was a deen. It was a way of life, of purity. One time, our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, was the Hajj, the farewell Hajj, where there was a lady who had come to ask him a question, and she was young. And with the Prophet was Fadl ibn Abbas, and Fadl was a young man. And as the lady is asking the question of the Prophet reaches over and he puts his hand on Fadl's head, and he turns Fadl's head. And he answers the questions. Now, later on, people ask him, say, Ya Rasulullah, why is it that you turn Fadl's head? So he says that, well, she's young and he's young. And I had fear that between these two, shaitan would appear, and I didn't want that to take place. That's why I moved his head over. Now, brothers and sisters, this is taking place. Number one, it's in Hajj, where most people are busy. They should be busy thinking about things other than like relationships and those type of things. Second of all, it's taking place in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of God himself. Thirdly, we know that there's not going to be any type of like sinful interaction taking place, at least in that gathering, because they're in the presence of the Prophet. They're not alone. But still, the Prophet wants to make a point that in this type of thing, we have to take precaution. It's not okay for these two to just be looking at each other. He turns, follows his head to the right or to the left. He turns it aside. This is very important. This is part of the teachings of Islam. When it comes to indecency and immorality, you take the road of precaution. What does the Quran say? The Quran tells us, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. This is from Surah Maryam, verse number 59. That it says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعَدْهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Allah says that sometimes in history, it's the case that you have a generation of pure people. They have decency, they have morals, right? They hold themselves to standards. But for whatever reason, maybe it's in the way that they raise their children, it's because of the culture that has sinned, whatever it is, their children don't follow that same path. What they do is, number one, is that they lose their salah. And number two is that they pursue their low passions and their desires. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse number 27, Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wishes to turn to you. Allah wishes to show His mercy to you and to forgive you. But there's a group of people that are turning you away from God. Who are these people? Who are the people who are trying to turn you away from the path of God's mercy? They're actively doing that. What is their tool? Who are these people? وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Those who pursue their lusts and their passions, their shahawat, these are the people who aren't just happy doing it themselves. They want to take you along for the ride. They want you to also turn away from the path of God and follow them in pursuit. You see, Islam teaches us things. For example, it tells us, if you go to the books of Islamic laws, it tells us that when you interact with the opposite gender, let's say you want to talk, you want to have a conversation, it's not haram, right? Islam isn't a religion which tells us that, you know, just you can't have any interaction. But when you interact, right, you have to do so with guidelines, according to standards. You follow the protocol. What's that protocol? Number one is dress code. Have the dress code. Now, if the other party doesn't have the right dress code, at least you maintain your dress code, and then there's special rules about what you need to do. Number two is that when you're conversing, the way that you make your voice sound is important. Don't make your voice sound in a way where now you show that perhaps that you know you might be vulnerable and open for something beyond just a type of professional conversation. Number three is that what you talk about is important as well. Keep it business related. Keep it straight to the point. Keep it about what you need to talk about. Not that it should go from there to like everything else. Of course, pleasantries are okay. You know, being professional and being decent and nice and all, that's fine, right? But don't go and make it into like, you know, the personal story of everything that happened to you over the weekend and your mom and dad and everything else. Number four is that when you're talking, maintain your outer composure, which is called waqar in Arabic, meaning that the way that you are, your body language, be aware of that. And also your inner body language as well too, your iffa, your self-restraint. Keep that as well. And finally, when you're conversing and when you're talking, when you're acting, make sure that it doesn't go beyond what's necessary, meaning that whatever you need in order to maintain your relationships, business relationships, family relationships, whatever, societal relationships, that's fine. But keep it at that. Don't let it just be something which is a free-for-all where, you know, I have, you know, all my friends on my social media account, it doesn't matter whether they're guys or girls, like, I can converse with any of them at any time, and it doesn't really matter to me. That's not the Islamic approach. And other guidelines as well that, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters are aware of. And sometimes, you know, we get questions. We wonder, well, why is it that there's so much emphasis on this? Right? Why is it that this is something that we're asked to focus on? Sometimes it's difficult because we feel like we're swimming upstream with respect to the rest of the society. Things like, you know, keeping, you know, your distance, keeping, you know, things like, you know, not having physical contact, things like, you know, having a certain dress code. Sometimes people say that it's very hard for us. And recently, you know, we have this type of development of a type of attitude, right? Which is an attitude, I want to call it the myth of the autonomous, modest person. Okay, if you remember a few nights ago, we talked about the myth of the decent person, right? So tonight I want to talk about the myth of the autonomous, modest person. What does it mean to be an autonomous, modest person? It's the person who says that I am the one who's going to determine how I'm going to be modest. I have autonomy in this regard. People have struggled for centuries against guidelines imposed on them from religions which tell them what you should do and what you shouldn't do. We've liberated ourselves from those guidelines, and now I'm in charge. And if you come to me and tell me that in order to be modest, I have to do this and that, I'll say that I'm in charge of determining that. I'm the best one to tell what's modest, and I'm gonna make that call. So we're going to respond to that person. But I just want to make a comment here about culture. It's very important for us to understand. Culture and the predominant way of doing things in the culture, it is often something which can be changed and manipulated by the people who are in power and the people who have access to the tools which can change culture. This is super important for us to understand. I mean, we saw it in the early history of Islam where our Prophet was able to change the culture of Jahiliyyah, which was filled with all sorts of crimes and indecency, and make it be a society of people who were extremely, you know, moral and decent. And then we saw it go back again during the time of the Umayyads and the Abbasids. We see it in the modern time as well. I'm going to give you a couple of examples that's good for us to reflect upon. If you study the way that people used to dress in our countries, there was a time when modest dress was the norm. It was something that was actually like very much like, you know, the way that people wanted to dress. Parents used to encourage it for their children, and somebody who wasn't dressed according to very specific standards, they were seen as being immodest. And this was the case, generally speaking, until World War II. But what happened in World War II is the military machine, it realized that whatever resources it has, natural resources, cotton, fabric, factories, it needed that in order to maintain its warfare. So the powers that be, what did they do? They started to actually advertise and make a campaign to change the dress code. I saw for myself an advertisement from that time where it had a picture of, in this case, it was a lady who was dressed according to pre-war standards. And then next to it, there was a lady who was dressed according to the way that they wanted to be in the war standards, which was called the era of austerity. We gotta like be careful now. We have to hold back because after all, our country's at war. Kind of reminds me of like the public service, you know, ads that they had during COVID, where, you know, they had like somebody, it's like, well, now that we're in COVID, you have to do this, right? You have to put a mask on, you have to have, you know, 6 feet distance or whatnot. Now, it's very interesting. What's the difference between the two? One of the differences is that in the first picture of pre-war, the lady, the hemline of the skirt is all the way down to the floor. But now, during the wartime, suddenly it's moved up a number of inches. And this is the official government position which is being advertised. This is how you're supposed to dress. Now you might think that, okay, well, that's a temporary thing that's going to be in place because of austerity, just like, you know, we had to wear masks and now we don't wear masks anymore. Right? But that's not the case. Because people seized on that and they started to promote it. They said that, well, now that women have entered the workforce, it's not feasible for them to be in the workforce and also dress modestly. One of the famous fashion designers says that, you know, after all, you know, this is like serious, I'm serious. This is actually what she said. You know, she says that there'll come a time when the ladies who are going to work, they'll have to run after the bus, right? And if they're wearing the long skirts, they won't be able to run after the bus, so therefore we're going to keep the skirts short. And this is the type of arguments they had. And we see that from then on, you know, those number of inches, for the most part, they didn't return. What is this an example of? It's an example of culture that's engineered. What's another example of culture that's engineered? We're just finishing the month of July, but you'll see that in a number of places, even though the month of June has been termed as Pride Month, the flags of the Pride movement are still up. Right? And you wonder, and many of you who are sitting here, you'll remember that when you were children, this was not the case. There wasn't such a thing of the rainbow flag being used for this movement. There wasn't such a thing that you would see it everywhere. One of the brothers, you know, was saying that he got a call from his workplace, it was in the month of June, and they said that we're going to be having, you know, an online Pride event, and we really want you to be there. So he said, no, it's okay, you know, I'm busy, I have other things going on, it's okay, right? So he says that they actually offered him extra money. They said that please come and just, you know, come and just attend, and if you come, we'll give you an extra bonus. Right? And then he said, no, it's okay. And then he got another call and another call. Right? What's taking place here? The Christians, they're saying that we feel here that there is a type of Christmas that's being created, but now in the month of June. Right, with its own rituals, you know, you had a Christmas parade before in downtown of all the cities, and now we have a parade in the downtown in June, right, when it's hot and, you know, things are different. So what's going on? People go to schools and they say that, like, well, you know, sometimes we're forced to even participate in the activities. This is an example of cultural engineering. And if you go and see, like, those who have studied changes in culture and history, they say that one of the most rapid changes that has ever taken place in the history of human beings has been the move towards widespread acceptance of the LGBTQ movement. We've never seen something like that before. Now, why am I saying this, brothers and sisters? I'm raising awareness of how culture can be changed. It can be tweaked. So now we go back to the person who is living this myth of being an autonomous, modest person. And we say that, okay, you're saying that you're going to be modest according to your own standards. So, first of all, are you looking at the bigger picture here? Are you seeing what your actions, the effect that they have on everyone else? Or are you just looking at things from your own perspective? Because what all religions and what all decent creeds teach us is that we are not just individual islands. We live together as a society. And we have to be concerned about how our actions affect the society as a whole. I'll tell you a quick story. I went to a camp in California where we're facing a drought, just like you guys are facing a drought here. And they had big signs up everywhere, telling us that, okay, you're at this campsite, you're welcome, but we have strict protocol when it comes to the use of water here. If you take a shower, your shower is going to be cut off after 5 minutes, no matter what. Right? Don't even try to figure out a way around it. And if you use water, please make sure to close the taps as soon as possible. And if you see somebody violating this, please report them to the camp office right away. Why? Because we're all dependent on the small amount of water that we have. Even the fish in the river, they depend on the water that we have. And they warned us when we went to the campsite. They said that if we find that as a whole, your group is not following these rules, we're going to completely cut off the water from you guys. You'll be just waterless. Now, somebody might complain and say that, what is this? I want to be free. Right? Why are they telling me what to do? I want to be autonomous. What right do they have to impose any standards on me and tell me I have to do things this way or that way? And our answer is that, well, look at the greater picture here. Why are you so self-centered? Why are you only looking at yourself? Your actions affect other people as well. Brothers and sisters, our actions when it comes to the public display of morality, the way we dress, the way we interact, the way we greet, the way that we chat, all of these have an impact on the society as a whole. We need to look at it from the bigger picture. That's number one. Number two is that when you're making these decisions, for example, somebody says that, okay, I'm cool with, like, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't discriminate against any gender. I'm going to interact with them. I'm going to be cool with them, but I'm not going to get affected, right? It doesn't matter. I'll just be friendly to everyone, and I'll have exactly the same standard no matter if it's a guy or a girl. So, okay, that's your self-imposed autonomous standard. Our answer to that would be, our response to that would be that, are you looking forward to the future when one day, with the help of God, you're going to get married? That person that you marry, are you going to be okay with them having that same standard for themselves where it doesn't matter whether it's a guy or a girl, they can be free and open with them and joke around with them and chat with them in the middle of the night? Or are you going to say that, no, now that I'm married to that person, I want them to be a little bit more concerned, I would be a bit more concerned about how they interact with the opposite gender? Because there is something called a law of karma, and to a certain extent, Islam accepts that as well. That what comes around goes around as well. Usually we want to have this type of decency and, you know, kind of chastity in the person that we're going to marry. So if that's the case, then we should at least be practicing for ourselves as well. So brothers and sisters, this sometimes we construct these myths around us, and what's actually happened is that we've been taken for a ride by the dominant culture. That's what happened at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When this culture of fasad, of sinfulness, of fisq and fujur, all these sins, they started to spread, people got busy pursuing their lusts. And that was one of the reasons why they didn't stand for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is speaking to them, and they drown out his voice. And he says to them that the reason why you're not listening to me is because you filled your bellies with haram. You don't have any self-restraint. Self-restraint applies to food. It applies to things that we look at. It applies with the way that we interact with others as well. So brothers and sisters, when it comes to, and I want to conclude here, when it comes to these laws and guidelines, the protocol that we have, the way that we want to approach it is one of extreme gratitude that Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. All praise belongs to Allah who showed us a way of living in a decent manner. It doesn't matter how many flags are put up. It doesn't matter whatever decadency and whatever, however low the society will stoop. I have a standard that I'm holding myself up to. And I know that that's my responsibility to myself, to my Lord, and also to my society. And when others see me do that with dignity and with a sense of pride in my identity, then they will say that this is what I want. I want a religion which teaches me how to be disciplined. It teaches me a line, a firm line between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood, between decency and indecency. May Allah help us to embrace this beautiful religion that we have and inshallah have the true Islamic culture. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala tahirin. Tonight, brothers and sisters, it's the night of the 5th of the month of Muharram. Before we begin the Masaib, one thing I just want to give a tip to all of us, inshallah, myself and first and foremost, and to all of you. Our great scholars, they tell us that when you want to listen to the Masaib, it's very important to try to bring tears to your eyes. But sometimes you might find that it's difficult. Why is it difficult? There could be different reasons, but one of the reasons is told to us in a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says that مَا جَفَّتِ الدُّمُوعِ إِلَّا بِقَصْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ وَمَا قَصَّتِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَّا بِكَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ. The tears do not dry up except for the hardness of the heart. And the hearts do not become hard except because of the plentifulness of the sins. We're told in hadith that when we commit sins, our heart becomes dark. And that darkness grows the more sins that are committed, as long as we don't do tawbah and we don't repent to Allah. And when the darkness fills our heart, it becomes hard for us to feel emotional and to connect with the truth. Words of truth are being said, but it's as if they hit a brick wall, they just bounce back. And sometimes we might be in the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and we're hearing about the martyrdom of the son of Fatima alayhi salam, and we can't even bring a single tear to our eyes. So what should we do? One thing that we're told is that when the Messiah begins, do an istighfar. Turn to God and say, "Oh Allah, I am sinful. I've been negligent. But here I am. I want to benefit from this blessing that you've given me. Each drop, we can't even understand how precious it's going to be for us when we leave this world and we see our book of deeds." Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Tonight we're going to remember two of the very special individuals who were part of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's companions. One of them was Muslim ibn Awsaja, the other is Habib ibn Madahir. These were among the elders of the community. Islam teaches us that somebody can age, but as they age, if they have the spirit of what's called futuwa, or futuwa is sometimes translated as chivalry or eternal youthfulness, as they age, they become younger. And this is the spirit we see in the men and women of God, that even though their bodies may be getting older, their heart becomes younger and it's very much alive. And this is what we see in the example of Habib and Muslim. They were companions of our Prophet. They were veterans. They were people whose stories of how they had fought battles were told and retold among generations. They could have just been in Kufa and they could have just said that, "We're good, right? We've done our service. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we love him, we're praying for him, but we're going to just sit comfortable right here." But we see that they sprung to their feet, and while those who are younger than them were just doing whatever they were doing, they escaped and they went towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And there, we can only imagine how much comfort that Imam Hussein and Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam must have felt when they see these veteran companions of the Prophet coming. These two, who they knew would give them so much support and so much comfort. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Ibn Rasulillah. صلى الله عليك وعلى أصحابك. Peace and blessings be upon you, O our Master, O leader of martyrs, O ship of salvation, O lantern of guidance. Peace be upon you, O son of Ali and Fatima. Peace be upon you, O our master, O Imam Hussein. O the one who was killed unjustly by the banks of the Euphrates River while his mouth was thirsty. Peace be upon you and upon your blessed companions. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, fanafuza ma'akum fawzan azima. If only we could be with you, O companions of Hussein. If only we could have attained that great victory that you attained alongside with you. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muslim ibn Awsaja and Habib ibn Mazahir. Muslim ibn Awsaja was one of the first who faced the enemy on the day of Ashura. Despite his age, he fights so bravely. The enemy who's facing him were sometimes hesitant. They told one another that, "Don't you know who you're fighting? This is one of the Qurra, this is one of the reciters of Quran. This is somebody who would teach Quran to others. This is somebody who used to battle, who used to help the Prophet. This is somebody who was one of the greatest companions. Are you sure you want to fight him?" But the enemy knew no mercy. They attack Muslim ibn Awsaja. Eventually, Muslim falls to the ground. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes to his side. But he's not alone. His faithful companion and friend is with him. Habib ibn Mazahir is there as well. Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out, "Rahimakallahu ya Muslim. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا." The Quran describes people who are always firm on their faith despite all the challenges. Muslim was one of them. Habib leans down. He brings his face to Muslim. He tells him, "Oh Muslim, congratulations. Paradise is waiting for you. But I have to tell you, it's very difficult for me to separate from you at this time. Oh Muslim, tell me, do you have any wishes as you die?" Muslim tells him, "Oh Habib, there's only one thing I'm concerned about at this time." He points to Imam Hussein and he tells him, "Oh Habib, always follow him, give yourself for him, don't let yourself let him die before you die, oh Habib." Habib takes these words to heart. Later on in the battle, somebody calls to Imam Hussein. He insults him. Habib is not going to accept this. He asks permission to engage in battle. He cries out as he mounts his horse, "Ana Habib wa Abi Mazahir." "I am Habib and my father is Mazahir." "Lanahnu azka minkum wa atharu." "We are from those who are pure. We are more pure than you are." He says, "Nansuru khayran nasi hina yudhkaru." "What is my mission? Who am I supporting?" "We are supporting the one who is the best of people when they are mentioned." Habib ibn Mazahir goes and fights the enemy. He fights so bravely, but he too eventually falls to the ground. Imam Hussein rushes to his side. He cries out, "Oh Allah, it's with you that I'm presenting what is happening to me and my companions." History tells us that Habib ibn Mazahir had a young son. This young son somehow was aware of what took place with his father. Sometime later, in the streets of Kufa, the killer of Habib ibn Mazahir had the head of Habib tied to his horse. As he goes from one place to another, there is a boy who is following him. When he goes inside, the boy goes inside. When he comes outside, the boy comes outside. Eventually, he asks him, he tells him, "Oh my child, why is it that you're following me? Everywhere I go, you are going as well." This boy looks at him and he tells him, "I want something that you have." "What is it, my child?" "That head that is strung to your horse, that is the head of my father. Can you please give it to me? I want to bury it." The man tells him, "If I give you the head, how will I get my reward from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad?" The boy tells him that in that case, Allah will punish you with the worst of punishments. My father was a better man than you. But imagine what happened when they brought the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Sham, and the ladies had to see it and they cry out, "Ya Muhammada, this is the head of Hussein, Yabna Makkata wa Madina, ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin." وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. معتم يا حسين.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam. Matam se muh na pheru are o namaziyo. Shabir jo sajda na bachate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam. Sajde mein pade se ke phir sar na uthaya. Neze pe char ke shah ne Quran sunaya. Akbar ne di azan jo subah ashur ko. Shakle nabi azan sunate ho ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Zainab ne khud ujar ke di ko bacha liya. Chadar luti ko khak ka parda bana liya. Zakhmon se chur le ke asiron ka kafila. Sajad agar sham na jate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam na hota. Shabir agar sar na katate to ye Islam. Sajad ye kehte the tum mujhko saza do. Ye Zahra ki hai laadli Zainab ko rida do. Bazaaron mein darbar mein namoos-e-Muhammad sa شبیر اگر سر نہ کٹاتے ہیں تو میں نہ ہوتا شبیر اگر سر نہ کٹاتے ہیں تو یہ اسلام پہچانو مجھے لوگوں میں ہوں زہرا کی جائی اسلام بچانے کے لیے شام ہو آئی کیوں ہم پہ یہ ہونے لگی پتھر کی بارش گر کلمہ گو یہ ظلم نہ ڈھاتے تو یہ اسلام نہ ہوتا شبیر اگر سر نہ کٹاتے تو یہ اسلام نہ ہوتا شبیر اگر سر نہ کٹاتے تو یہ اسلام نہ ہوتا شبیر اگر سر نہ کٹاتے تو یہ اسلام نہ ہوتا
یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین حسین کا مسافر دیکھا ہم نے ڈوبا ہوا کربل 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 کا مسافر دیکھا غم میں 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 ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر دیکھا روتے شبیر کو زہرا کی لحد پر دیکھا غم میں ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر دیکھا غم میں ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر دیکھا غم میں ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر دیکھا روتے شبیر کو زہرا کی لحد پر دیکھا غم میں ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر 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 دیکھا اپنا سرمار کے دیوار سے رویا غازی اپنا سرمار کے دیوار سے رویا نبی ذاتی کو آتے ہوئے باہر دیکھا غم میں ڈوبا ہوا کربل کا مسافر 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 دیکھا اپنا سر مار کے دیوار سے رویا غازی اپنا سر مار کے دیوار سے رویا غازی
किया है शबीर
سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے خیمے بھی جلائے تو ردائیں بھی اتاری سیدانی اثر ننگے کھڑی روتی تھی ساری ہندو تھے یہودی تھے عیسائی یا کوئی اور اتنا تو بتا دو یہ گناہ کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے خیمے بھی جلائے تو ردائے بھی اتاری سیدانی اثر ننگے کھڑی روتی تھی ساری ہندو تھے یہودی تھے عیسائی اور اتنا تو بتا دو یہ گناہ کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے بے شیر کے حلقوں پہ جب تیر لگا تھا اور پیاس سے معصوم کا ہے خشک گلا تھا اصغر نے زباں ہو تو پہ جب پہ کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے زنجیروں میں جکڑا ہوا سجاد مہاری اور شمر کے ظلموں سے دری بی بی اساری جس بی بی کا سورج بھی حیا کرتا تھا چھپ کر اس بی بی کے سر کو میری دا کس نے کیا ہے سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے برچی نے جو چیرا علی اکبر کے جگر کو ہائے کیسے اٹھایا میرے مولا نے پسر کو لیلا کا پسر لگتا تھا تصویر نبی کی سرکار رسالت کا حیا کس نے کیا ہے سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے آبا سے وفادار کا پرچم ہے نشانی یاد آئی کربل کی کہانی دو ہاتھ سے زہرا کی دعاؤں کا نتیجہ ان ہاتھوں کو شانوں سے جدا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے برچی نے جو چیرا علی اکبر کے جگر کو ہائے کیسے اٹھایا میرے مولا نے پسر کو لیلا کا پسر لگتا تھا تصویر نبی کی سرکار رسالت کا حیا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے شبیر کو سجدے میں زبا کس نے کیا ہے
یا حسین
یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین سر کو کٹا کے دین پہ سر کو کٹا کے دین پہ خود کربلا میں گر دیا تو نے حسین یا 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 حسین خالق تیرا ممنون ہے خالق تیرا ممنون ہے مرتضی اور فاطمہ کے نور ہے یا حسین 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 یا حسین
محمد و آل محمد صلوات
Brothers, salat time is at 8:57 p.m. Please prepare for salat.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن عليا ولي الله أشهد أن عليًا حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على صل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وآله وسلم.
Could we ask brothers to please come and fill the gaps? There's some gaps here. Please come forward. Fill the gaps. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن علي ولي الله أشهد أن عليا حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله. سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله. الله أكبر. بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله. سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله. سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا لطيف ارحم عبدك الضعيف الذليل. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إني أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والنجاة من النار ومن كل بلية والفوز بالجنة والرضوان في دار السلام وجوار نبيك محمد عليه وآله السلام. اللهم ما بنا من نعمة فمنك، لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن علي ولي الله، أشهد أن عليا حجة الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الله أكبر. بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إنا نسألك الراحة عند الموت والعفو عند الحساب الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إنه ليس لي علم بموضع رزقي وإنما أطلبه بخطرات تخطر على قلبي فأجول في طلبه البلدان فأنا فيما أنا طالب كالحيران لا أدري أفي سهل هو أم في جبل أم في أرض أم في سماء أم في بر أم في بحر وعلى يدي من ومن قبل من وقد علمت أن علمه عندك وأصبابه بيدك وأنت الذي تقسمه بلطفك وتسببه برحمتك اللهم فصل على محمد وآله واجعل يا ربي رزقك لي واسعا ومطلبه سهلا ومأخذه قريبا ولا تعنني بطلب ما لم تقدر لي فيه رزقا فإنك غني عن عذابي وأنا فقير إلى رحمتك فصلي على محمد وآله وجد على عبدك بفضلك إنك ذو الفضل العظيم
Brothers, the announcements for tonight are as follows. There's daily ladies morning majlis at 10 a.m. every day, starting with Quran. The children's Muharram program in the annex also starts at 10 a.m. and this is parallel to the ladies' majlis. The main program tomorrow will start at 7:15 p.m. with Quran. The Muharram Majalis sponsorship scheme is £810 per night. To sponsor either in part or in full, please contact Brother Mushtaq Qasim or Brother Sajjad Tajani in the gents or the chair lady Naseema Aunty Kareem in the ladies. The Muharram Niyaz Fund is also open. Please donate generously at the treasury desk. Membership subscriptions can be paid at the desk or online. COVID infections are still quite high. Please exercise caution when attending the events. As you know, we are working towards our future at Hujjat Harefield. Please donate at the treasurer's desk in the gents and ladies or via the Harefield ambassadors tables. Recitation requests can be emailed to recite@hujjat.org. Please respect our neighbors by not blocking their driveways. Let us set an example of being good citizens by not inconveniencing our neighbors. Car parking announcement. From tomorrow, Thursday, parking arrangements are as follows. Once Rugby and Center car parks are full, overflow will be in the Monday rear grass area. Please follow guidance from the CPV and cooperate with them fully. Al Hadi Youth will be organizing an open forum this Friday after the main program with the EC and property team for all those with questions about the Harefield project. All are requested to attend. Lastly, Al Hadi Youth Baraza Corner presents a gents and ladies Q&A with Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali. Join us after the program this Saturday, 6th August, in the gents' main hall as he delves into his lecture series on Karbala, an enlightened journey. Please stand for Ziyarat. As-salamu alayka ya Rasool Allah, as-salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, as-salamu alayki ya Fatimah al-Zahra, as-salamu alayki ya Khadijah al-Kubra, as-salamu alayka ya Hassan al-Mujtaba, as-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, wa ala tis'at al-Ma'asumin min dhurriyatik, علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والحجة بن الحسن أجل الله فرج وسهل الله مخرج وظهورك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك.